Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning once again, our second Sunday of Advent. And with excitement in the air, the Christmas season, that's for sure. So welcome to everybody. Just a few announcements here before we go on. First, regarding the soup kitchen that was yesterday, it was a wonderful day. We had a great turnout throughout the day. I believe the count was 292 people attending. I don't have any other information other than that right now. But the committee wanted me to give a special thanks to all that helped and brought food and just every part of it, especially to the middle schoolers for helping clear the tables. They did a great job, kids, so thank you for that. There are some leftovers, different soups and some pastries and things like that that will be available for donation in the social hall after church there. And I think that's it regarding the soup kitchen. There's our normal offering box in the back there. There's also an offering plate. And that, if you read your announcement, that is if you want to give towards the expense of the Christmas sacks that we give out to the children and youth on Christmas Eve. That's what that's the plate is about. So that's separate. You might just notice also the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day offerings. They're listed there in the bulletin of who we'll be giving to at those times. And lastly, program practice continues today after church. Lunch first, then practice. They're done by 1:30. Next Sunday the 11th will be the same way, and then on the 18th, the kids will practice during the Sunday school hours. So we need to be ready to go for that at 9 o'clock that morning, not 9:15, but 9 o'clock to be able to get it done. I believe that's all the announcements that I have. Please make notice that next Sunday we do have communion. So as you're going through the week, just be preparing your hearts and minds for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of this morning, the mild temperatures, the calm wind, certainly the sunshine. It just brightens all of our hearts and minds and lives. And we thank you for this part of the world in which you have placed us. We are blessed, truly blessed, to live here and to come together in this sanctuary as brothers and sisters in Christ, with our hearts filled with excitement as another opportunity to worship you together, with our hearts filled with joy in this Advent season as we celebrate you, Jesus, all that you are, born as a baby in Bethlehem, lived your life, and now you are our resurrected Lord, and you are seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And we wait for your second coming, and help us to always be prepared and ready for that. But I thank you, Father, for everyone that is gathered in here in this sanctuary, young from little babies on up to well in their 90s and everywhere in between. And you, Lord, you know us all by name. And you know our needs, you know our joys, you know our struggles, and you love us incredibly. And I just ask, Father, that you move among us by your Spirit and touch lives and hearts here today. Of all that are gathered, that we will leave this place refreshed and strengthened and encouraged by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we have Micah Gehring and Austin Sokup are going to do our Advent reading for us today. They're both eighth graders as well in confirmation.
Today is the second Sunday of Advent. As we gather around the Advent wreath this morning, we will focus on Mary's hymn of praise, which was also inspired by the Holy Spirit. Through Mary's example, we can learn about what a heart of worship truly looks like.
Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus said, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
As we light the second Advent candle, we proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the Lord of the world. We know that in Christ, we are also the light of the world. As we are mindful of this truth, let us live our lives in such a way that we may always bring glory to our Heavenly Father through our words and actions.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, for it was in Christ alone that we have found our salvation. We praise you, Lord God, with the words spoken by Mary in the Gospel of Luke saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in our place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 259. 259. Angels from the Realms of Glory. Let's stand as we sing this, please. That is why we are here today. A beautiful day. Please take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated. Our sharing of joys and concerns. Some things I have down here this morning. Myrna Herbolt had her 92nd birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to Myrna. She's with us. Yep. Her husband Elton is just a couple weeks ahead of her in age, and in between that, they celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. So that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Just some things that were on the prayer chain. Updates, first Lori Whale. Praise the Lord. She's doing better after a rough week. and with us, so we thank the Lord for that. Brian Melhoff, if you were on the prayer train, you saw that he was in the hospital with pneumonia this last week, but he is out, and of all things, they're in the Dominican Republic where this happened. But I texted his wife this morning, sounds like things are coming along better, right, Devin? Okay. He says he thinks so. So prayers for them. Also, just a couple mentions here of the family of Gideon Schaefer. So Gideon would have been a brother to Harriet's husband, Elton, and also Stuart and Lauren Schultz, their mom Geraldine. It's a sister in there, you know, the Schaefer 10, as we know them. So Gideon had passed away in Tucson a couple weeks ago now, and his memorial service will be here this Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Also, prayers for Tyler Miller, Tyler and Jenna and the family, as Tyler's first cousin, her first name was Dana, she's from Wagner, a young mother of 42, had passed away unexpectedly, really from complications of cancer, leaves behind her husband and two little ones, a first grader and a middle schooler. So prayers for them, please. Anything else? Over here. Yes, Carrie Dyke. Matt Fisher, happy 48th birthday today. You're crawling close to the big 50. All right, happy birthday. Anybody else? Okay, over here. Way in back, Shauna. Kenneth, sixth birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Kenneth. He's waving. Okay. Did I see somebody else? Yeah, Brian. That's right. Coming up on what day? The 8th of December, Brian and Jesse. I think it's your 15th, isn't it? 15 years on Friday coming. Happy anniversary to you guys. Okay. Continued prayers for these others, Marvin and different ones that are in the cancer battle and treatment with that. Madison. Okay, Daniel Schaefer's 41st birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Dan. All right. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, thank you for these birthdays, every one of them. Those that were mentioned, maybe some that weren't, and anniversaries, Brian and Jesse and others, we just thank you, Father, for each of these lives as we enjoy them so very much. Lord, we want to thank you for Lori Whale, as she's improving, has improved much and still coming along, but we thank you that she's here today. And for Brian and Steph Melhoff, as they're down there in the Dominican on a vacation, and we thank you for improvements there with Brian. We pray for just complete healing through his lungs from that pneumonia, especially as they soak up the sunshine. Hopefully that's what they're having down there, and warmth. And many others, Lord, who need your healing touch. Those in our community, in our congregation, who are in treatments of chemo and or radiation, we pray for them, for Marvin Gehring and Lonnie Herbold, Ken Winterstein. We pray for Jan Nebelsek. We pray for this little girl, Willow May, a 3.5-year-old who's battling cancer. And I know there's others in our congregation who prefer to be not named, but you know who they are, each one of them. And thank you for your power working in each of these individual lives. We know, as we read, Father, last week, when the angels, your angel said to Mary, with God all things are possible. And we know that's true. So we thank you for working as only you can do. We pray for these families who have lost loved ones recently, the family of Gideon Schaefer, the family of Dana, Yerka, Abels. Just be with these families, minister your comfort to them and encouragement. And I ask, Lord, that you hold them close in your everlasting arms. We thank you for the beautiful weather we're having. Lord, for our nation, we continue to pray, asking for healing across this land, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit, asking for revival. Lord God, you are the one who opens the eyes and hearts of people who don't know you. We do our part. We're trying, Father, as we sow the word, as we share Jesus with those around us. We plant and we sow, but you are the one who gives the increase. That's what your word says. So we thank you for all that you are doing that we are not even aware of. And as always, we pray for our troops. Keep them safe, those here at home and those abroad. Guide and direct them. Guide our leaders every step of the way, Lord. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 9:15, a verse I like to read, especially this time of the year. This I'll read from the New Living Translation. First of all, it says, "Thank God for his Son, a gift too wonderful for words." And he is. Other translations say, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Another one says, "For his inexpressible gift." Another one, "For his incomparable gift." And that is Jesus, of course. We're going to stand and we'll sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology. Stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that beautiful prayer that you have taught us. Taught us to pray, taught us to sing, taught us to use it as a pattern for our own prayers. To you, Lord, be all of the glory, our Father in heaven. Thank you for your love for each one of us, for your blessings that you pour out in such incredible ways that we don't even deserve. And so we bring our offerings, Lord, as an act of thanksgiving and worship into your storehouse, as we continue to proclaim your word, as we continue to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as you instruct us to, that they may grow to know you and receive you as their Lord and their Savior. Thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Everybody. Oh, there we are. Come on up and sit down. Well, we are in the second week of Advent. Yeah, see, turn around and look. There's two candles lit. And what are the two things that we're waiting for and going to celebrate? One is Christmas, the day that we celebrate Jesus coming into the world to be our Savior. And the second thing, we're waiting for Jesus to what? Come back and take us to heaven so we can live with him forever. That is exciting. So in the Christmas season, though, what are some things you do at home? Say, do you like put up decorations at your house? Did some of you? Yeah, this Mike's mom made this for me, us, 1 year. It says, joy. So at your house, are you decorating? Is your mom or dad, are you decorating? Yeah. What else? Have you put up your Christmas tree? Yeah. What do you put on it? Yeah. Ornaments, all kinds of ornaments. Yeah, we do that. Thank you. And you saw our Christmas tree? Oh, good. I'm glad you got to see it. A star, yeah, that's a star. Bentley. I'll show you again at the end, okay? So these are some things we do. Also, what's tomorrow at school? The Christmas program. And that's always an exciting time of the year. We get to come and we get to watch you sing and act. Are you doing it at your school too? Pretty soon. You already did it. Wow. Sit down, Bentley. Yeah, well, it's an exciting time for us all, your parents and your grandparents, to come and to see and to watch you. Those are all exciting times. But you know what else at Christmas? One of my most favorite things is to listen to
music.
To your ears, yes. And in this Christmas program, you're going to sing, right? I'm at church, and they're going to sing at your school program, and that's going to be fun. Well, what are some of your favorite Christmas songs? At it. Go ahead. Jingle Bells. Oh, Come All You Faithful. Rudolph the Red Nose Reindeer. Rudolph. Are you? Rudolph. That's three for Rudolph. Bo? Ooh, nice one. Lincoln? Rudolph. Bo, can you remember? How about some church songs? Are there some church Christian songs you can sing? We Three Kings, are you singing that for our program? What else? Silent Night? Let There Be Peace on Earth? Either of you? What? Isn't He? Oh, I love that one. Isn't He Beautiful? Okay, all these songs. Yeah, we have lots. Okay. Silent Night?
Silent Night, because we sing that.
Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells. Yeah, we sing a lot of these, right? Everybody has, like, good songs. What? I can't hear him. What did you say, Daddy? Deck the Halls. Yep. Last one. Come Tell It on the Mountain. All of these wonderful songs. Well, do you know what? Remember the Christmas story. If we remember, an angel came to who? To tell her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Mary. And you know, that Mary, it was probably hard to even understand all of that. But she said, yes, I will be Jesus' mother. And she ran off, and she told her cousin Elizabeth, who was older than her, excuse me, and Elizabeth was also going to have a baby. And when Mary saw Elizabeth's baby in her womb stomach leaped for joy. And Elizabeth spoke things over Mary, and Mary sang a song of praise to God. So these singing praises about Christmas go a long way back. And in Luke, I'll just read a little bit. Luke chapter 1. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So Mary also sang a song of praise. So during this season, even though we think of presents, and you'll be buying some and giving some and parties and the lights and everything, think about the songs. And we can worship God every single day, right? Do we have to wait for Christmas? No, we can sing to Him in our hearts every single day, thanking God for all He's done for us. Okay? All right, so we're excited to hear and see the ones from Minnow that are having their program tomorrow. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much that You've given us so many things in this world, especially Jesus, as we're celebrating His birth and His soon coming back for us. Thank You that our hearts would also sing like Elizabeth and like Mary sang. Praises to You. Help us always to be thankful to You, Father, in this season. I ask You to bless these boys and girls at their programs, all the things they're involved with around Christmas. Let them be Your shining light, telling others the real reason of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. That's pretty. Nice.
What?
Okay, thank you, Anne, and all the beautiful children that we're blessed with and their excitement. We're going to sing one out of the praise book, number 10, "Here I Am to Worship," number 10. Let's just pray. Bow our heads, please, before we look into the Word. Father, we are here together to worship You in spirit and in truth. That's what You told the woman at the well, Jesus. You said the Father looks for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So we just take this time, Lord, to pause in your presence, in the glory of your majesty, for all that you are, your power, your incredible plan of redemption for our salvation. How can we ever say thanks? Words seem so small. And so we lift our lives to you, to live for you, to present our bodies before you as living sacrifices. Thank you, Jesus. As we've sung, you are the light of the world. You are the one that stepped down into darkness. You who knew no sin came to this world, often at times a very messy, troubled world. But you came to bring light and life and hope to our lives, healing, not just physically, but in every area of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, in our relationships, whatever area it might be. You are the one. You are the King of all days, and you are so highly exalted. And we lift you with our hearts and our praise. Just the chorus once more there. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. And thanks for the beautiful prelude music, too, before as we gather in. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 46 today. Luke chapter 1, if you were with us last Sunday, we were there for verse 26 through 45 is what we read anyway. We focused on Elizabeth's song of praise. Today, if you're looking in the Bible, you see this is called Mary's song of praise. The Latin word, not that you have to remember, would be the Magnificat. That's what they call this. These verses here. So chapter 1 of Luke, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. That was her song. Verse 56 says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So we know when Mary went there, Elizabeth was 6 months along in her pregnancy. So whether she stayed for the birth of John the Baptist, it certainly would have been close to that point, which she very well could have. We're not told that, but we know then she went back to Nazareth. All right, so let's get into this here. Last Sunday again, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, said, you're going to be with child. She asked, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And I'm not going into all that, but one of the things Gabriel, the angel, said to her was, even your relative Elizabeth is now in her sixth month. And Mary knew, and the Bible tells us in three different places, that Zechariah and Elizabeth were well along in years, that Elizabeth was barren, she was not able to have children. Some commentaries say she would have been probably 60 to 70 years of age when she gave birth to John the Baptist. So it was a miracle. And as soon as this all happens with Mary, shortly thereafter, she goes off to see Elizabeth and Zechariah, which, as I said, they were just a few miles southwest of Jerusalem. But from where Mary and Joseph were up there in Nazareth, northern Israel, it would have been 70 miles on foot, probably, maybe on donkey, down to Jerusalem, and then that over to the little village in the Judean hill country where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. So God gave Mary three confirmations, of what he had told her was going to happen in herself. When she gets there, number one, as I said, this is last week, just a quick review. He gave her a personal confirmation. With her eyes, she could see her relative Elizabeth 6 months along in her pregnancy. By 6 months, you can pretty much tell, can't you? She saw it. Secondly, physical confirmation when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, because she didn't know she was coming. She just showed up. How would she know that she was coming? I just think of something here quick. I was visiting with Stella Nuss, whatever day this week, at the care center. She likes the way back memories, and she was telling, I think if I got it right, when her father, who was a Harnish, he had a brother who had moved out to Washington State, and she was telling about this guy. He took the train over to Trip, got off the train, hitchhiked, and he just showed up at their door. They had no clue he was coming. There was a great celebration. That's how it was. Well, that's how this certainly would have been. Elizabeth had no idea that Mary was going to show up at her door, nor did she know what Gabriel had just told her. Third, it was the prophetic confirmation as Elizabeth began to prophesy by the Holy Spirit of God. So we come to Mary's song today, her response to what Elizabeth prophesied. We call it Mary's song. So starting today, and this will go into next Sunday, I'm just going through the first few verses here of this part today, but we're going to see three things from this that we can learn for our own lives about worship, our worship of God. All right, three truths that we learn about worship. First of all, what we're going to talk about for most of this morning is the attitude of worship. The attitude of worship. That's a big part. And what is it? If you're filling in your blanks, first of all, our attitude of worship, it is internal. It starts within. In these verses 46 and 47 of Luke chapter 1, listen to it again. Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That's internal. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So spirit, soul, and body, you know that. I've talked about it many times. That is our three-part being. When we see spirit and soul separated, listed out though in the same verse, our soul, that our soulish realm is our mind, our emotions. We praise God with our mind. We need to. We praise him with the joys that we have. Sometimes we're praising him in tears, aren't we? My soul. Then she goes on and says, my spirit. And that's not the Holy Spirit. That is her human spirit within. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So we worship him. We spirit, soul, and body. And we've seen some physical worshiping going on before as Elizabeth was prophesying. So it has to start from within. True worship, what God desires. It can be just a whisper. It can be loud. It can be anywhere in between that. It can be, yes, can it be in our thoughts? Yes, it needs to be in our thoughts. But I always feel it's so important to put voice to it, at least, whether it's just a whisper. Why do I say that? Because there's a whole lot of thoughts that pass through these minds. Good thoughts and a whole lot of junk thoughts, right? Every one of us. The battlefield is right here in the mind. And so there's many thoughts, I hope, for all of us that pass through our minds that we never speak out. If we're one that just speaks everything out that's passing through our mind, what do we often say? That person has lost their filter, right? If it just is coming through here and out here, it's like, woo, can get ourselves in big trouble, can't we? It's like, ooh, I can't believe that person just said that, right? So we don't. So that's why in our worship, it's important to either sing out our worship to him or speak out our worship to him. Because at least to me, that differentiates it from the bad thoughts that are passing through. As you've heard me say many times, one of our professors at seminary, he said this about your thoughts. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, talking about thoughts, but you sure can keep that bird from building a nest on your head, right? You can do something with the thoughts that shouldn't be there. So it is internal. The prophet Isaiah said to the people of Israel back in chapter 29 of Isaiah, verse 13, speaking from the Lord to Israel, he said, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So number one, worship has got to be from within. Absolutely important. Even with the woman at the well, I mentioned earlier in some place already today, John chapter 4, this Samaritan woman, she knew about the Messiah who was supposed to be coming. He meets her at that well. They were all alone. I'm not going into that whole account, but it's John chapter 4. But what I want to point out to you is as Jesus begins talking to her about worship, her concern is more about the place of where we're supposed to worship than who we are supposed to worship. Yeah, we worship God wherever we are. Should be 24/7. Whatever you're doing, there should be worship in your heart coming forth. She said even to him, "Well, our fathers worshiped on this mountain." Where was that? That was in Samaria. Okay, between like Jerusalem, southern Israel, and Galilee, northern Israel, you had Samaria right in the middle where the Samaritans lived, of course. "Our fathers say we worship on this mountain, but you Jews," when she said that, she meant you that think you're the true, pure blood Jewish people, "you say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "No, you know what? The Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth." That's what we want. It is internal. All right, secondly, worship should be intense. It should be intense. Now, that can be loud. It doesn't have to be loud, though. It can be on the soft side, too, but it should be intense. So listen to verse 46 and 47 again. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." So we're going to talk about those two words. The first was my soul and my spirit. Now, glorifies and rejoices. Okay, you know what glorifies? That word in King James, it would say magnifies, if you have that translation of the Bible. Guess what word we get from that Greek word magnifies? It is the word megaphone. Whoa, I thought about borrowing Anne's. I should have. I forgot. She's got a megaphone. You know, what does a megaphone do? It makes it loud. So the definition of that word, to make great, to enlarge, to increase. My soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. When we praise God, do we make him greater than he is? No, we can't do that. He's as great as he is. He's the all-powerful one. But he can and should become greater in our understanding of him as we praise him for who he is. So that's these two ladies here, Mary and Elizabeth, they weren't just sitting down having this little old tea party there in that village. This was a whoa! When Mary showed up and greeted, and Elizabeth, whoa! You know, these two ladies were doing like you ladies can do. And men. We'll talk about you in a second. You can get pretty excited. Whoa, the baby just jumped in my, and she starts prophesying. And it says, even in there, it says, Elizabeth exclaimed in a loud voice. All the neighbors certainly heard. You think of how they lived in their Pueblo-type dwellings. They didn't have glass windows. They weren't 50-100 feet apart from each other in their homes. They were right there. I'm sure all of that little village is like, wow, what is going on over there? They heard it. In a loud voice, she exclaims, her part, Elizabeth, my soul rejoices. Rejoices, that word literally means in the Greek to jump for joy. And that's what they were doing with intensity. Not something they had to work up. It was this just there. They were so excited about what God was doing in them, those two little ones in their wombs, and what he was going to do through them and through those two little guys when they grew up into their adult years. They just, praise just came out. When we got back from Rhode Island this summer, end of July, and we went to see Caleb and Rachel, and Rachel came out, and as sort of the pattern goes, is Anne has treats for the dogs, and I have food for the kitty cats, and I go head off, and so I start going that way, and she says, wait, Dad, wait, come here. And so Anne's up there closer, and Rachel pulls out this little shirt that says, what did it say? What? Hello, Grandma and Grandpa. See, I can't remember what it said. Hello, Grandpa and Grandma. And Anne's like, and I'm like, oh, and I just sort of give her a hug, right? Shake Caleb's hand. Sorry to embarrass you guys. So it is that way, right? We show excitement about so many other things, natural things. All my fellow Cowboy fans, a couple weeks ago when they beat the Vikings 40-3. Don't tell me there wasn't a lot of shouting going on in the Hairbolt clan. Woo! Woo! Maybe not so much on the opposite side. But I can't leave out the Packers, then, who the week before beat the Cowboys by 3 points after having a lousy season. We had to have mercy on you. There's, you get excited about those things, right? Somebody's hiding his head back on that corner from me. So worship, not that it has to be loud. There, I realize in more this setting, it's more subdued. But you get in charismatic type churches and it's a whole different story. And that's all right. Because we all have different personalities that God has given us of expressing our praise to him. That didn't just end that day. I have to believe that rejoicing went on for 3 months every day that those two were together. Maybe not to that excitement, but certainly they had a lot to talk about. Mary had to tell Elizabeth all about her visitation. Elizabeth and Zechariah, Elizabeth would have been doing the talking to tell Mary about the visitation of the angel to Zechariah. And so it went on like that. But the third point here under this is worship is humble. There is humility in worship as well. There truly is. And verse 48 and 49 are going to bring that out of Luke chapter 1. For he, God, this is Mary again, speaking by the Holy Spirit of God. For he has been mindful of the humble, right there, the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I like the New Living there where NIV says, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's speaking of herself. New Living says, he has taken notice of his lowly servant girl. That's who she was. Coming out of Nazareth, was not a well thought of village in Israel. Matter of fact, when Jesus, remember, if you remember when he was calling his disciples And the one brother, I didn't look this up to see which brother went to brother again, but one of the 12 that was being called says, hey, we found the Messiah, the one from Nazareth. And the answer of the brother was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Seriously? So she was just so overwhelmed, Mary was, at what God was doing in her and through her. Me? Who am I? I am this humble servant girl. She knew she was a sinner. She knew that socially she was nothing, according to society, just a simple peasant girl. But God chose her to be the one to carry the Messiah and give birth to him, to a physical body. And she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And we do, and people have, but we don't worship her. We sing songs. I think one we hear on the radio a lot is Mary, Did You Know? I love that song. How it goes through. Did you know that talking about, it's the focus is on the baby, Jesus, who she's holding and all that he would do. But what does Mary do here? She's not bringing the praise to herself. She never does that in these verses. She gives the praise to God. Right after, from now all generations will call me blessed, she says, for the mighty one, God, the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Not, whoa, look at me, everybody. No, holy is his name. She turns it to him, the mighty one. That is where we get omnipotent, the one who is all powerful. That's who she's glorifying. Did she have an exalted view of herself? No, she didn't. Just the opposite. She had a very humble view and opinion of herself. She had a very exalted view of God. And that is true humility as she's worshiping him in that way. And so our worship, yes, it's internal, has to be. That's where it starts, is our relationship with Jesus Christ and God as our Father. And it comes out, and it is intense. It should be. Intense worship is, if you're falling asleep, it's not intense worship, right? No. Uh-uh. Do whatever you have to do. Stand up or what when you're worshiping God, okay? And it is humble, because what often gets in the way? Pride. Pride. We all have to struggle with that. Mary easily could have gotten into pride, but she didn't. She didn't. People, I've said this couple times here in this Advent series, as one time, remember that lady came to Jesus and said to him, interrupted his sermon, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and the one who has nursed you. Jesus said, no, blessed are those who hear my word and obey it. Takes the attention off of her onto the word. He's the living word. And so we do that. We worship him in spirit and in truth. Always. Not just at Christmas. I think of the first beatitude that Jesus gave up on the Mount of the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's that mean anyway? When we realize that we are poor in spirit, that's talking my spiritual condition, your spiritual condition without Jesus. To be poor in spirit is when I realized, when I came to that point in my life that I realized without you, Jesus, I am in big trouble. Without you, Jesus, I am on my way to hell, to eternal damnation. I need help. I need a Savior, and you are him. You are the Messiah. That's being poor in spirit and then calling out to him and letting him do that work in my life as Lord and Savior in all of our lives. When we come to that point, then what? The second half of that verse says, for theirs, for yours, is the kingdom of heaven. And it is. As we come to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior and repent of our sin, receive him, then we know that heaven is our home. So as we think about this, maybe you read through, I'm not going any further today on that. The attitude of worship. We'll go further in worship next week. I hope that's a practice of our lives every day. So we're going through the day that you just, whether it's with songs on the radio that you're listening, maybe it's a sermon you're listening to on the Christian station, or maybe you're not listening to anything, but you're thinking about him. When you're working cattle, when you're driving the tractor or the truck or the car, or washing dishes or cleaning house or teaching school or being a nurse or whatever it might be, it's always there. Always there. You know, one thing that's so neat about those little kids, I hear stories from time to time, the littlest ones in those younger grades, maybe when they're more doing a craft or something, they're just talking about Jesus. They don't care. Look what I made, a cross. Oh, I know about the cross. That's Jesus. Yeah, he rose from the dead. Did you know that? Yeah, I know that. That just comes out of them. They don't care. And that's that childlike faith just coming out of them. And yet somehow as we get older, we're like, oh, can't say that. Can't say that. Oh, oh. No, we worship from our hearts. Let's pray. And Father God, you are the one that we worship. You are exalted to the highest place. Thank you for all gathered in here this morning. That's part of the reason we're here, is to lift our voices together in worship and praising your name. And help us to do that all throughout the week. Lord, let us ever be mindful of that. Father, as I'm praying, I'm just recalling a dear older lady who's in heaven now, so many times when we talked, and that's always what she said to me. I just worship him all day long, whatever I'm doing. And that's what we should be doing, worshiping you, Lord Jesus, our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Thank you for blessing each one's week as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our last hymn, 278, Angels We Have Heard on High. When we sing that chorus, that's in Latin, you know, in excelsis Deo gloria, da 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 da, in excelsis Deo, that's Latin. It just means glory to God in the highest. That's what we're singing. Let's stand, please. 278. Thank you. That was beautiful. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Before you're seated, let me pray for the meal program practice, please. Father, thank you for this day, for, yes, glory to God in the highest. We give you our highest praise. For the children and the teachers as they go to have their lunch, we thank you for the food and ask you to bless it to their bodies. Thank you for all that have given to make this lunch happen, for those coordinating it, for all the teachers, for the program practice and the directors, that you would bless that time too. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Either Christian Ed and or some of the consistory of this pulpit will need to be moved over for program practice, okay? Thanks for the music, Jennifer.